Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. This is the game-by-game breakdown for this week. We have three people on the panel today, including myself. My name is John Solly. I am a PFW Fantasy Football contributor. You can find me on Twitter at JSolly. I am joined, as always, by my two co-hosts. First, Kyle Neighbors, Northwest Herald sports editor and PFW contributor. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle Neighbors. Kyle, how's it going today?
It's going all right, despite the fact that the season-long league for Pro Football Weekly and Blog Talk Radio is going down the drain really quickly. But, you know, outside of that, it's going well.
A couple of bad injuries will do that to you. I'm also joined by Arthur Arkish, PFW fantasy football writer, editor, really all everything for PFW. You can find him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur, how's it going, man?
I am doing well, gentlemen. Good to be back with you this week. How are we doing?
Doing all right. Let's jump right to it with our game-by-game breakdown. We're going to start with a game that doesn't have a lot of fantasy goodness, but Detroit at Chicago. 41 is the over-under. It opened at 44. It's already gone down to 41, with Detroit favored by 3 on the road. Kyle, man, Jordan Howard kind of burned everybody last week, and if you still have Tariq Cohen on your roster, I'm sorry. The Bears just don't want to play him. But is there anybody on this game that you really feel like targeting from a fantasy football perspective?
No, not really. I guess I'm interested to see how Dontrell Inman's involvement continues to come along here. He had 8 targets last week in his first game on the field with the Bears. I'm interested to see if that's a trend that's going to develop or more as an outlier. Arthur, I don't know if you were at Hollis Hall the other day, but were you shaking your head as much at John Fox's answer about Tariq Cohen's usage as I was?
Absolutely ridiculous, Kyle. And I would encourage people to check out our Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast this week if you want to hear Hub and I just absolutely rail on Fox and Dowell Loggins and the whole idea that a defense, an opposing defense, should dictate any offense's personnel decisions. It's so inexcusable. You know, I thought maybe Fox was going to survive this, and honestly, after that explanation Wednesday and then Dowell Loggins doubling and tripling down on the stupidity, I have a lot less confidence in anyone's long-term viability as far as the Bears coaching staff is concerned.
How about on the Detroit side, guys? They they eventually got there against Cleveland. We thought there'd be a little bit more fantasy goodness for them, but Golden Tate seems to be the most consistent guy in this offense, isn't he, Arthur?
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's, you know, interestingly, ever since he got benched last year in this game at Soldier Field, he's been pretty darn consistent for Stafford, and it's looked really good the past several weeks now, where he has been generating upwards of 8 to 9 targets. He's found the end zone a couple times. The one time he didn't, he was bordering on 100 yards. So definitely like his chances to stay hot in this one. And although I know Kyle doesn't want to hear it, Amir Abdullah, touchdowns in 2 straight. He's starting to get touches now in the red zone, and looks like the Bears will again be without Danny Trevathan. So I'm not trying to say he's a slam dunk RB1, but I think you feel pretty good about Abdullah as an RB2 this week.
Yeah, I mean, he is what he is, but against the Bears and a game that's kind of probably be two teams pounding at each other, I understand that play. You know, we talked about Marvin Jones last week, and I said that eventually that rug was probably going to be pulled out from under owners. John, are you willing to go back to that this week or against a pretty good Bears secondary? Is he on the bench at this point?
I'm okay playing him. There are probably guys that I would rather play out of him, though. And I think there are guys in better spots this week. So with that, let's move on to a game that is interesting from a fantasy perspective. Kansas City at the Giants. 46 is the over under. It opened at 44, so the over is getting hit pretty hard, with Kansas City favored by 11 on the road. Guys, we know about the history of Kansas City off the bye. I believe Andy Reid is something like 16-2. I feel like you could start pretty much any Chief on your roster, right, Arthur?
Yeah, but I mean that goes without saying that we only have three or four Chiefs on our roster, right? Just because there's such a small group of guys who produce consistently. But I didn't know how high it would be, too high to rank Travis Kelce this week. I ended up putting him number 10 overall, and he is above Gronk as the tight end 1 overall, of course, against the Giants defense. It's allowed 10 touchdowns to the tight end position. So that should be a field day. Feel really good about Alex Smith, Kareem Hunt. Yeah, the usual suspects, definitely. I think the Giants are more interesting because maybe people are so turned off by these horrific performances they've been putting out the past couple of weeks. But Eli Manning was pretty solid last week, and Sterling Shepard is getting a ton of looks, Kyle. So I mean, Shepard probably goes without saying, but I think Eli has got some streaming potential this week. What about you?
I mean, it's Eli, so cap the enthusiasm too much, but yeah, I guess I get it. I mean, the Chiefs secondary is in bad shape. John, did you say the over under is up to 46?
It is up to 46, open at 44. There's a couple places where it's up to 46.5.
That's still too low. I mean, I kind of want to take out a small loan and put it on the over for that, because the Chiefs secondary is not in good shape. And while the Giants have kind of thrown in the towel defensively, I mean, this is probably the healthiest they've been in quite a while, with Shepard back at full strength. You're seeing Roger Lewis making a few plays. I think that there are some viable plays on the Giants side of the ball, including Roger Lewis. John, is there anyone else though?
I'm all up with Sterling Shepard. If you got him, you have to start him, and obviously Evan Ingram. Yeah, Lewis is a potential flex candidate this week. Maybe Darkwa too. The Chiefs have struggled giving up yards to running backs. So, and Darkwa is a guy that can catch a couple passes too.
I mean,
I don't mind that play.
I'll be shocked if this game doesn't at least go over 50.
Yeah, I will be too. The only thing that could potentially stop it is weather, but it's Thursday. I'm not worried about weather just yet. All right, let's move on to the next one. Tampa Bay at Miami. This was supposed to be a week one game, but obviously the hurricane moved it to this week, and we know a little bit more about these teams now. It's a 41 over under and currently a pick 'em. Man, we talked a little bit about it on the DFS podcast, Kyle and I did. So, Arthur, I want to get your take. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he disappointed last week, but that Miami secondary, this Miami defense, has been so bad and is now coming off a short week. I think Fitzpatrick is still in play as a streamer in a much better matchup this week.
Yeah, I'm still not really wanting to go there. I was against it last week. I still think you can find better options, but I've got him as QB17, so I guess that at least puts him in the neighborhood of being a streamer. The two plays I really like in this one, guys, and by the way, I wish we could go back to week one and know less about both of these teams, because how ugly has it gotten? But I like Doug Martin. I know he has been absolutely mired in a funk, but we've all seen, if you braved out these primetime performances from the Dolphins the past few weeks, you know what's going on with that defense. It's just been absolutely lit up. It's made Jonathan Stewart relevant again, helped Marshawn Lynch get back on the radar. So I think Doug Martin gets going again this week, and I like Cameron Brate too. He's disappointed in back-to-back weeks. Now Mike Evans gets back, and the Dolphins have allowed touchdowns to tight ends in four consecutive games, and they're starting to slowly morph into the Giants. Not that anyone can pull off that feat this year, but those are the two plays, at least the two kind of sneakier plays I like here. What do you think, Kyle?
I'm not a huge fan of Cameron Brate, actually. As much as I have been all season, I think we've seen it now 2 weeks in a row. He's just not getting the targets. I think he ran a season low in pass routes this week, too, if I recall correctly. I'm actually more interested on the other side of the ball. You talk about Jay Cutler. I think it's 9 touchdowns in the last 4 games. I mean, it's still not passing for a lot of yardage, but if you're looking for a streamer, I feel like that's a better option than Ryan Fitzpatrick. And Arthur, let me get your opinion. Is Kenyon Drake taking over this backfield yet? Because I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's underway for sure. He flashed that Alabama speed last week on the long 66-yard touchdown. Not a lot of carries, but obviously the game got away from Miami there. So he's definitely the back to own in this one, and I'm not convinced that Tampa Bay's defense is suddenly fixed. So ever since they traded Jay Ajayi the past 2 weeks, we've seen the big playability from Drake, a 42-yarder 2 weeks ago, and then the 66-yard house call. So yes, I'm absolutely with it, and I think that was the plan all along. He was the handpicked guy of Adam Gase and Dennis Hickey, not Damian Williams. So if you went out and grabbed Drake, I think you could feel pretty good about what's ahead for him Sunday.
All right, guys, let's move on to the next game. Baltimore at Green Bay. 38 is the over-under, with Baltimore favored by 2 on the road. Kyle, I got an either or for you here. Jeremy Maclin or Jordy Nelson?
Jeremy Maclin.
I agree.
We've seen some upside at least the last few weeks from Jeremy Maclin. We've seen targets for him. I think it's looks like 22 over the last three games. Jordy Nelson is just not getting targeted. You know,
this whole Green Bay offense has been downgraded.
Yeah, I mean, the only one that's showing any kind of receiving potential is Davante Adams.
Yeah, that's about it. Arthur, what do you think of this matchup here?
Yeah, I'm with Jeremy Maclin too. Not convinced that Packers secondary is suddenly fixed. You know, the Ravens won't be healthier on offense than Sunday coming off the bye. So kind of intrigued to see what happens in the backfield too with Danny Woodhead and Alex Collins. Although Marty Morningweg did say on Thursday, Alex Collins will remain in a quote unquote feature role. Although normally feature backs, you know, get out lots of opportunities in the passing game, which Alex Collins really hasn't. But I like both of those plays. And we got to talk about Jamal Williams. Kyle, you were there firsthand to watch the BYU rookies break out. It wasn't efficient by any means, but that was a vital performance they got from him in the second half. Green Bay did. What do you think about Williams against the Ravens run D that's playing a lot better the past few weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I there was nothing that I saw on the field that made me go, wow. But, I mean, they're not going to be able to move the ball through the air. One, it's Brent Hundley. Two, I still have some respect for the Baltimore pass defense. So I think it's more of a volume thing more than anything. He's going to get 20 to 25 touches at least. Right, John?
Yeah, I would think he has to.
I mean, they don't. So. Is there anyone else even on the roster healthy? Did they sign anyone this week?
They've got the other rookie, Devontae Mays, who hasn't been up very often. He was the seventh rounder, I want to say, without Aaron Jones. And, you know, guys, the wild card here is Ty Montgomery. I don't think he re-aggravated the rib injury, I believe, or aggravated the rib injury, but I don't think it's was immediately sort of said to be serious. So you have to keep tabs on his status as we get closer to kickoff. But I think that would potentially kind of limit Williams' upside this week if Ty goes, obviously.
Yeah, I just looking through here, it does say that Ty Montgomery this week has been limited to rehab work. So he's not been taking any contact.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. So he sounds like a definite long shot to play. And yeah, just like last week, Williams, I think, got 21 touches. It was as busy as any Packers running back has been all season, with the exception of Ty Montgomery in week one. So they're clearly comfortable at this point to ride him. And I think that means owners who went out and grabbed him probably need to as well.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next game. The Rams at Minnesota, 45.5, 46 is the over under. With Minnesota favored by 2 at home. Guys, Case Keenum just keeps on producing. And I know Teddy Bridgewater's just waiting in the wings, and I feel like the first, you know, bad mistake, Mike Zimmer's going to make the switch. But, I mean, Case Keenum is a guy that you have to consider rostering most weeks after how he's performed, right?
Kyle?
Arthur, I'm going to let you. You, I saw you on Sunday during the game. You were the Case Keenum ringleader on Twitter on Sunday. So I'm going to let you take this one.
Yeah, I mean, he was great before halftime. 3 touchdowns, almost perfect. I think he was like 14 of 17 out in Washington. Added a 4th touchdown early in the third quarter. And you say, okay, Case Keenum just had the best game of his NFL career. Then the fourth quarter happened, and he threw 2 terrible picks. There was a couple others that could have been picked. So, you know, that it still was a monster fantasy performance, and this is obviously – this has got to be like the biggest week of Case Keenum's life, guys. I mean, he's quarterbacking a first-place team. He has his ex-team coming into town with Jared Goff, of course, who he started above for the first half of last season. And then, as I just discussed, the roller coaster out in Washington last week. So I have him as QB13 overall this week. You know, he's got some streaming potential. We should also point out that the Rams defense has been awesome during their 4-game winning streak. They've allowed a combined 41 points, and they're taking the football away. So this is the best matchup of the weekend, guys. Maybe not for fantasy purposes, but this is going to be the most fun game of the weekend. And I'll throw it back to you guys. What do you think about Robert Woods versus Xavier Rhodes? This is kind of proving ground, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Woods is going to see a fair amount of Rhodes. And I feel like the Rams are a competent enough offense, competently enough run offense that they're, you know, I think Cooper Kupp is in for a nice game inside against Captain Munderland. I think that's a better matchup. And I think that's where the Rams are going to go.
Yeah. I, whenever I see a guy going against Xavier Rhodes, I just kind of cross him off. Now, when you have, let's say it's a big name receiver, let's say AJ Green, you're still going to play him against Xavier Rhodes, kind of a middling guy like Robert Woods. I know he's had a few good weeks. I would be more than willing to put him on the bench.
I've got him at WR23 this week, and that was probably a little bullish. I do agree with you guys. It's a really tough matchup, but we'll see. It's undoubtedly the best two-game stretch of his career. I do agree with John Solly about Cooper Kupp this week. It's not Captain Munderland. It's Mackenzie Alexander, but you're absolutely right about the nickel.
Yep, you're right.
He'll be going up against. And so this is going to be a lot of fun. I wrote about it in our wide receiver rankings this week. You guys should check it out. It's interesting juxtaposition between the way the Rams have rebuilt their wide receiving core, kind of a luxurious take approach, I should say, versus the Vikings, who have shopped in the bargain bin and ended up with one of the best duos in the league right now with Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next game. Arizona at Houston, 38.5 is the over-under. Houston favored by 2. At home, kind of amazing considering Tom Savage is still the quarterback in Houston. But there's some interesting guys here. It looks like Arizona's going to start Blaine Gabbert. Man, Arthur, I want to get your take on this game because I feel like there should be more fantasy viable players than there are in a game with a bad defense like Houston and a decent offense like Arizona.
Well, you guys are the DFS experts. I know this is the wrong podcast, but it feels like the right game to at least mention it. And I'm an unabashed Mizzou guy. John, I know you are too. Blaine Gabbert versus that absolute burnt toast Texans pass defense. Doesn't that scream streamer or no?
Yo, Gabba Gabba. I'm in. Gabbert's going to get you. Gabbert runs too. Let's not forget that. But. I mentioned this on the DFS podcast. He doesn't have the arm strength to get it out to his receivers on the perimeter, but he can get it inside to Larry Fitzgerald. And you want to attack Houston's defense, really, I mean, anywhere, but in the slot is really a weak spot for them. So I think this is a really potential blow-up spot for Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good spot for Larry Fitzgerald. I wouldn't play Blaine Gabbert, though. I mean...
There are better streamers out there.
Yeah, don't play Blaine Gabbert. I don't care if you guys are Mizzou fans, just don't do it, please.
I picked him up in my Superflex league, so I'm not saying if you have one QB vacancy slot, but I ran out and grabbed him. Then again, I ran out and grabbed Nate Peterman too, so I'm just kind of grasping at straws here. And I know we'll get to the Bills soon enough, but anything else worth discussing in this one, guys? The Texans offense pretty much outside of DeAndre Hopkins has become unusable, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's just bad. I mean, Lamar Miller was about the most vanilla running back in the league to begin with, and then when you're capping when a defense is able to stack the box against Lamar Miller, it really just kind of kills any kind of upside.
All right, well, with that, let's move on to a game that also doesn't have much fantasy goodness. Jacksonville and Cleveland. 37 is the over-under. That's one of the lowest over-unders I've seen this year, with Jacksonville favored by 8. On the road. This is kind of in a streamer centric podcast, but I mean, is Blake Bortles in play as a streamer against this Browns secondary that is just awful and really is a pass funnel defense?
Well, who's going to start at wide? Who's going to start at wide receiver for Jacksonville? First off, I'm just looking through here. I see Allen Hurns is now listed as doubtful. Marquis Lee is listed at questionable. Arthur, have you heard anything about D.D. Westbrook? Is he going to be activated?
Yeah, he's gonna play, guys. I'm a glutton for punishment, I guess.
I have a
morbid curiosity in this game. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's all the bulletin board material this week between Tayshaun Gibson and Leonard Fournette not wanting to play in cold weather, and D.D. Westbrook actually saying he expects to rack up 200 receiving yards in his NFL debut. I don't know. And then you got Corey Coleman making his return from IR, of course, versus Jalen Ramsey. So you couldn't get a tougher matchup. But I'm just intrigued. I don't know. I don't think this is going to be a shootout or anything like that. I don't know there's going to be a ton of fantasy goodness, but I have a strange attraction to this game I can't quite explain. But now, after that long rambling answer, the answer is yes. D.D. Westbrook is going to make his NFL debut Sunday, guys. He's been on IR with a core injury, and he actually told a Jacksonville radio station this week he expects to rack up 200 receiving yards in his NFL debut. So pretty
wow.
Yeah, pretty ambitious from the former Biletnikoff winner. But I'll tell you, if he's anything like he was in the preseason, you're going to want to go get him on your roster right now. So,
all right, then. Go out and get him.
I'm sorry, just to answer the Blake Bortles question, guys, he's actually been strangely consistent over the past month now, and he gives you a little bit of a rushing boost, and you figure Cleveland's going to give Jacksonville a couple extra possessions. Bortles attempted 52 passes last week, and he was really good through three quarters. So it's kind of happening under the radar, but he's actually and of course, we're removing the fourth quarter with the two interceptions, but there have been some signs of competence from Blake Bortles, both in fantasy and reality.
All right.
I'm sorry. I'm speechless because I'm considering the fact of Blake Bortles and competence being used in the same sentence.
Dude, look at his numbers. I mean, I know.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I just like it's just like the state of the NFL. That's all I can think of when I see that.
I know, it's craziness, and he gives you a little rushing boost too, so I guess that offsets the imminent turnovers he normally accounts for.
All right, well, let's move on to the next game. Washington, New Orleans, 51 is the over-under, with New Orleans favored by 7.5 at home. Kyle, man, Ingram and Kamara have been such studs lately, but do you feel like the touchdown regression is coming? And maybe we see a swing back to Breeze to Thomas to finally get into the box.
I see the touchdown regression coming, but I mean, it's not going to be a drastic reduction. And yeah, Mike Thomas is going to find the end zone here sooner or later. He's just too talented. The targets are still there. That being said, I do think the upside for Drew Breeze is capped. He's probably not the elite quarterback that we're used to, and I'm not saying that his skills have diminished. I just don't think they need him to be that 350-yard guy. I'm kind of interested. You know, I feel like we know where the points are going to come from New Orleans. It's coming from the running backs, and if there is a passing touchdown, it's probably going to be Drew Breeze and Michael Thomas doing it. I'm not sure how this game gets to 51 points, though. I know Washington is looking better with the offensive line getting healthy, but that Saints defense is legit. Arthur, do you see this as a usable spot for Washington, the Washington offense?
Yeah, I do, actually. I mean, the Vikings defense is legit, too, and Washington put 30 on them last week. So it wasn't always pretty, but they did get there in the end. And again, that was fueled by Case Keenum's help late. But yeah, this kind of feels like not only is Drew Brees is due for at least a solid game this week. I think I still have a very good startable grade on him, QB8. But it also feels like maybe New Orleans' defense is due for a little bit of a regression. And they've struggled covering tight ends a little bit. Kenny Vaccaro is still out. So it's hard to know, as always, where it's going to come from in the Washington offense, but I don't know. Maybe it's Samaje Perini in his like third chance on the season now with Rob Kelly out again. John,
man, I like Perini's talent, but he keeps putting the ball on the floor. I can't trust him to stay in if he's going to keep fumbling.
I think if anyone there, it's going to be Chris Thompson. It's the one area the Saints have been vulnerable has been pass catching running backs, and I do think that the Saints are going to be leading in this game. I think Thompson's going to out-snap Perrine.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that.
Okay, that makes three of us. I was just looking past Thompson because he's been the one steady guy in the offense.
But I mean, Vernon Davis, I think, is a good option, too.
Yeah, assuming, I don't know, do we know, is Jordan Reed officially out yet? It's heading that way.
It's not official, but I think it's going to go there.
Might as well be. Yep, yeah, it's Jordan.
It looks like it says he's going to be a game time decision.
Dreaded game time decision. That should be Jordan Reed's new nickname, game time decision.
At least it's an early game, so you'll know the inactives before roster lock. All right, let's move on to Buffalo and the Chargers. Nate Peterman takes over at quarterback for Tyrod Taylor for some unknown reason. The over-under is 44 with the Chargers favored by 3.5 at home. Arthur, why Nate Peterman? I don't understand. I don't understand this move. Tyrod Taylor, I know he didn't play great, but that was at least a guy I could count on in fantasy a little bit. I don't think I can count on Nate Peterman.
Yeah, you know, I think that Sean McDermott and Rick Dennison are hoping that Nate Peterman's going to scan the whole field and go through an actual, you know, chain of progressions. But yeah, obviously his upside doesn't it doesn't appear to match Tyrod's and what he gives you with his legs. We talked about it on the PFW podcast. The optics of this are bad because of what the Bills defense has done the past 2 weeks. Obviously, Tyrod Taylor isn't responsible for that. No, he hasn't played well, but I think they're looking for an injection of energy on offense. And sometimes we see that at least happen in the short term. But talk about throwing the rookie, the fifth rounder Peterman, into the deep end. He starts against Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram just when you'd think you could use Tyrod's mobility, right, Kyle?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, props to the Buffalo Bills for deciding it was a good idea to trade Marcell Dareus away. That's going really well for them.
It did not, float Tyrod, apparently, in trade discussions a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, I don't know what Sean McDermott is doing. It doesn't really make much sense. I guess maybe this gives a little bit of a higher ceiling for the wide receivers. As you said, that Nathan Peterman probably is going to be a little bit better at going through his progression. So maybe Kelvin Benjamin gets a go in here. I don't know. Are you guys willing to play any of those guys?
Nope. Chargers D, please. Thank you.
Yeah, not this week. I'd like to see first. He does have the Chiefs, Peterman, that is. I believe the Chiefs and the Patriots the next couple weeks. And, you know, those are good teams who the Patriots are playing better defensively. We'll wait and see on the Chiefs. But, I think there could be a boost eventually for the pass catchers. I'm not sure about this week. And I'm not sure this helps LeSean McCoy either. I think the thinking is that maybe it frees up some space in the box for McCoy. But I don't know if that's going to happen immediately. And the Chargers' run defense has been a lot better of late.
Austin Eckler in the flex discussion, Arthur?
I think so. You know, it kind of pains me to say it because I just wrote last week that Melvin Gordon had another gear to reach, and apparently that gear to reach is somewhere on the bench because Austin Eckler was the guy in there until that fumble, of course. So we have to wait and see how Anthony Lynn sort of responds after that late fumble that contributed to the Chargers chargering. But it is fascinating, and we have to remember Ekeler, the undrafted rookie, is the guy that Lynn likely wanted, not Melvin Gordon, the first rounder that he inherited. And all you got to do is look at the numbers. It's clear who's been more explosive and more efficient, and it's not Melvin Gordon. So he's one of the more interesting guys this week, in my opinion, Ekeler, that is, especially with this reeling Bills run defense coming into town.
All right, well, let's move on to the next game. Cincinnati and Denver. 39 is the over under with Denver favored by 2.5 at home. I mean, you're starting AJ Green, and it's actually, I don't think as bad a matchup as we normally think with somebody going into Denver. But beyond that, guys, this looks ugly. I think either one of these defenses are probably decent matchups this week. Kyle, what do you think of this one?
Yeah, just don't do it. I mean, go to the waiver wire, find someone else. Just don't do it. It's sad that, I mean, maybe Emmanuel Sanders. I'm sure if you have him, you're probably sticking with him and Demaryius Thomas if Demaryius Thomas is able to go, but I don't feel good about any of it. I mean, this game, it's just an ugly, ugly game, Arthur.
Yeah, I would say so, too. You know, maybe as a streamer, Tyler Kroft, the Broncos D, continues to let tight ends do work, although Gronk didn't find the end zone last week. We thought he did. And the running backs were pretty good in the receiving game. So, you know, if you have it in you to roll the dice with Joe Mixon again, I'm not really necessarily recommending it, but it wouldn't be surprising to me to see that offense kind of run through the backs and the tight ends in addition to Green this week.
All right, well, let's just move on to the next game because there's some interesting stuff here. New England against Oakland. This game is in Mexico City. It opened at 50. It is now at 55 for the over-under.
Wow.
With New England favored by 7 as technically the road team here. Arthur, have we figured out the New England backfield? Mike Gillisley has been inactive. Rex Burkhead looks like maybe the lead guy right now as far as explosiveness. Have we figured out the Patriots backfield?
Yeah, I think it's three guys remain viable, but if I could only have one, it would be Burkhead, and that would be followed by Deion Lewis, because I think they've settled. It's interesting how it's happened. James White is still getting some opportunities, but Burkhead has moved ahead of him as the number one receiving option. So, and I think there was a report today suggesting that the Patriots would look to extend Burkhead early on that one-year deal because he's been so good and they think so highly of him. So I think both of those backs, frankly, right now, I think all three of those backs are viable at worst in a flex spot. I also just don't really trust the Raiders defense at all either. Watch this be the game. The Raiders secondary, the Raiders defense doesn't have an interception yet. So, you know, this has to be the week where they get about three of them on Tom Brady, right?
That would be something. from the Oakland side, Kyle, anybody that you really like in this matchup? And we've got a 55 over under total. There's got to be some scoring from the Oakland side here.
Yeah, I mean, I know the Patriots defense has improved markedly over the last month or so, but I mean, obviously you're still using Derek Carr. I think their top two receivers, Crabtree Cooper, you're plugging in. I know I've been yelling at you guys about Jared Cook, and we talked about this on the DFS podcast a little bit, but I mean, he's usable at this point, right? Particularly against this Patriots defense.
The volume's there. He's just getting 8-9 targets a game. You've got Jared Cook. I think you're playing him in this one.
I mean, at some point, the Jared Cook week is going to come back where he like has four drops and then doesn't see another target. But I mean, you're going to play him in this matchup.
Even this season, guys, amid his success, Cook hasn't been perfect. There have been drops here and there, but as John said, he's getting the volume and he's getting the opportunities in between Cooper and Crabtree. So yeah, you got to stick with him. What about Marshawn? I mean, I know our patience has worn very thin, but I believe the Patriots are surrendering about 5 yards a pop on the season still. And if they're vulnerable anywhere on defense, I think it's still right up the middle of that defense.
No.
I'm with you.
Nope.
All right. Yeah, I would roll with Marshawn. In fact, I will be in a couple leagues, not as my RB1, but I think you feel pretty good about him in a flex spot, especially, guys, if it's a 55-point total, Marshawn should at least fall into the end zone once at worst. But I don't know. I'd be wrong. Normally am.
All right, Arthur and I will make fun of Kyle on this one next week then. Let's move on to the Sunday night game. Philadelphia and Dallas, 48 is the over-under. Philadelphia favored by 4 on the road. I got a QB question for you. If you've got Carson Wentz and Alex Smith, who are you starting in this one this week?
Kyle?
I'll take Alex Smith. I'll take just about anyone against the Giants secondary at this point, though.
I've got Alex Smith as QB4, and I think I've got Carson Wentz as my QB3. I think I would roll with Wentz too. Coming off the break, he's just been so darn consistent. And they both give you about the same level of upside with their legs. But obviously, I feel great about both of them. I think I give a slight edge toward Wentz. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Wentz, but it's the Alex Smith one is tempting.
No match. Sean Lee on defense. There's the difference.
Yeah,
guys.
The
Giants have been a dumpster fire defensively, but it's not for lack of talent. It may be for lack of effort. It may be for lack of buy into their coaching staff. But there's still some blue chip dudes who, if they want to turn it on, can. Who's left that you feel good about on the Cowboys defense without Sean Lee? DeMarcus Lawrence, obviously. But other than that, there's just no one.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You're not going wrong either way. John, is this an example that you're using? Like, is this a real life thing where you have both guys?
I mean, maybe. I can crowdsource for my own lineups here, right?
I would say, are we past trade deadline in fantasy? I'm not even sure.
In my leagues, yeah.
I believe in Yahoo. I believe the Yahoo default trade deadline has passed. I'm not sure about other yeah. formats. But guys, let's get to the most important, I think the most pressing question that listeners would want to know, and I'm not pretending like we have any informed opinions. We're all just guessing here. But what do you think about the Eagles backfield? I mean, what happens with Jay Ajayi and LeGarrette Blount? And what can we sort of expect to see from this moving forward?
Frank Reich said he did want to get Ajayi more involved. So, I don't know if that's coach speak or not, but they traded
for him. And of course, that was after Doug Peterson said right after the trade that LeGarrette Blount would remain the starter, right?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
do you have a gut instinct on this?
Jay Ajayi is better than anyone else that they have, and usually talent wins out. I don't know. I think it's going to be incremental, though. I think he had 8 carries last week. I'd say that's probably going to go up to about 12 to 14 this week.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that sounds right. Can we remove Corey Clement? I wrote about this in the running back rankings. The guys should check it out. It's kind of a funny coincidence that after last week, everyone wanted to see what would happen in Dallas's backfield, of course, that this week it's kind of Philadelphia going into Dallas. Can we just chalk up the undrafted rookies breakout to being in a blowout and the Broncos kind of rolling over,
Kyle?
Yeah, I mean, I like Corey Clement, but I'd say that's just kind of a fluke more than anything.
Okay, and is there any concern about Zach Ertz after missing the game before the bye? I know I believe he's back to full participant in practice. We expect all systems go, and he returns to being an absolute stud.
I would, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I give him better than 50-50 chance that he finds the end zone this weekend.
Okay, very good. What about on the Cowboys side, guys? I know it was a disaster without Tyron Smith, but is there anything salvageable here with Alfred Morris or Rod Smith or anyone you can feel good about with Dallas welcoming in this really good Philly defense?
No thanks.
Nah, John? I'm good. I'm good.
Kind of with you. It's amazing how quickly the tables have turned for Jerry and company, huh?
Yeah, it's too bad for Jerry Jones.
you sound really heartbroken there, John.
But it couldn't happen to a more selfless guy.
Yeah, that's, man, tough go. Let's move on to the Monday night game. Atlanta at Seattle, 45 is the over-under. Seattle favored by 3 at home. Kyle, I want to point out just one little interesting fact that I read this past week, that the last time Julio Jones went to Seattle, he went for more than 100 yards and a touchdown. I just wanted to point that out.
I bet his offensive coordinator wasn't an idiot, though.
That's a good point. It was Kyle Shanahan. So
yeah,
yeah, that's too bad. Kyle, I do want to get your take on this one. Obviously, you're going to start your studs. What Devonta Freeman looks like he's going to miss. So is Tevin Coleman a guy that that we think can step up against the Seattle defense?
I mean, yeah, he's going to have the volume, obviously. You need to keep your expectations in check with this going. It's at Seattle, right? It's at Seattle. So, yeah, I'd keep your expectations in check. But that being said, I really like Tevin Coleman as a player. He's explosive. It's probably going to be one of those games where he's not going to have the best yards per carry or yards per attempt, but he has the potential to break one in any situation. Arthur, do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of just described last week, too, after Freeman went down. Coleman was really busy, wasn't super efficient, but had himself a nice day. He's my RB14 this week, and it was weird, guys. It seemed like something kind of clicked. I know it doesn't make sense, but it seems like things kind of clicked a little bit after Freeman went down last week. So I'm cautiously optimistic about this Falcons offense heading into Seattle, of course, without Richard Sherman, also potentially without Cam Chancellor. And as John alluded to, they were productive. I know it was with Kyle Shanahan, but Julio was a monster, 7-134 last year, and about half of that was on Richard Sherman. And it would have been a much bigger day, remember, if they actually called the defensive pass interference on that last drive that helped Seattle escape with the win.
All right, guys. Well, we will end the podcast as we do each week with our bold calls. So, Kyle, do you have a bold call for this week?
Come back to me. I'm trying to decide between a couple here.
All right, Arthur, do you have a bold call for this week?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I after I wasted so much time on this podcast discussing Cleveland and Jacksonville, I have to go back to that game with the 37-point total. I don't know how it happens. I don't know why it happens, but I think Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson do it again. 200 rushing yards last week versus Detroit, and I think they both have really big games. I've got Crowell as RB19, but we'll say he's going to be an RB1, and we'll say Duke Johnson will be a top-shelf RB2 this week. Again, I don't know why, but that's why they call it bold predictions, right?
All right. Kyle,
that's what I'm going for.
Yeah, I've got it figured out. I'm going to go with the fact that Miami is at home. I don't believe in the Tampa Bay defense, and eventually talent wins out, and I'm going to say Kenyon Drake is going to be a top 12 running back this week.
All right, I like it. My my bold call this week, Jeremy Maclin is a top 12 wide receiver against that Packers defense. So with that, that'll do it for the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. For my co-hosts Arthur Arkish and Kyle Neighbors, I'm John Solly. Good luck in your matchups this weekend.